The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
All right, so Psalm 119, verses 153 to 154. During War of 1812, General Andrew Jackson marched more than 2,000 Tennessee volunteers from Nashville to New Orleans. And with bravado, they fought the decisive Battle of New Orleans. The fighting took its toll on Jackson's troops, but sickness proved to be the deadliest and most dangerous enemy. 150 soldiers became gravely ill, 56 of whom could not even stand. Dr. Samuel Hogg asked the general what he wanted him to do. "To do, sir?" Jackson answered. "You are to leave not a man on the ground." It wasn't an official code of conduct yet, but Jackson embodied the military motto, "Leave no man behind." Andrew Jackson ordered his officers to give up their horses to those who were sick, and the general was the first to do so. Jackson marched 531 miles on foot. Somewhere between New Orleans and Nashville, he earned the nickname Old Hickory, the same name under which he would campaign for president 15 years later. Now, before winning the White House, the seventh president of the United States is alleged to have fought as many as 13 duels, which explains the 37 pistols in his gun collection. I'm not advocating the reintroduction of dueling, but it does reveal something about Jackson's character. Old Hickory wasn't one to shrink from a fight, especially when honor was at stake. Jackson said, "I was born for the storm, and the calm does not suit me. When the sea is calm," I love this quote here, "when the sea is calm, anyone can captain the ship. But when the perfect storm threatens to capsize your marriage or drown your dreams, you must play the man. A true man doesn't sit back. He steps up and steps in. He fights the good fight, even when it seems like all is lost. Why? Because a true man is born for the storm." I wonder sometimes how many of us as Christians, how many of us don't even realize that we're in a war? Born again for the storm. On more than one occasion, I've had to explain to many a Christian that there is this reality, the reality of what it means to be a good soldier for the kingdom of God. I explained the reality that Christianity is not a settle in and live at peace with the world the way it is kind of religion. That's not Christianity. When Jesus said the truth will set you free, he didn't mean it was going to happen without a battle. Authentic biblical Christianity teaches that your life is going to be a fight. The world, the flesh, and the devil are your sworn enemies that are out to ruin your soul. There is a storm that you're walking into. J.C. Ryle, in his book called Holiness, there's so much in this book that we're going to hopefully glean from. He says this: "There are thousands of men and women who go to churches and chapels every Sunday and call themselves Christians. Their names are in the baptismal register. They are reckoned Christians while they live. They are married with a Christian marriage service. They mean to be buried as a Christian when they die. But you never see any fight about them. Of spiritual strife and exertion and conflict and self-denial and watching and warring, they know literally nothing at all. When Christianity, or such Christianity, may satisfy man, and those who say anything against it may be thought very hard and uncharitable, but it certainly is not the Christianity of the Bible. It is not the religion which the Lord Jesus founded and his apostles preached. It is not the religion which produces real holiness. And he says it, this one, famous quote from J.C. Ryle. True Christianity is a fight. True Christianity is a fight. In Christianity, there's going to be struggles. Okay, if you're told that there's not going to be, it's not true. In true Christianity, there's going to be struggles. There's going to even be defeats. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be times to retreat. There's going to be times to rest. But then there's going to be times to get back in the fight. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be suffering, tribulation, testing, training, purifying, the process of being made holy. But we were born again for the storm, weren't we? We were born again for the storm. We've been called and we've been chosen to be those who will be made holy, for those who will be made like Christ. There will be struggle in our lives, but we have the Holy Spirit, don't we? And we urge the Lord to look upon us in our suffering. We look for the Lord who is on our side to rescue us, to keep us, and to protect us. So Psalm 119, verses 153 to 154. Psalm 119, 153 to 154. Look upon my suffering and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instructions. Argue my case. Take my side. Protect my life as you promised. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that it continues to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, we pray that your word will continue to transform us into the likeness of Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to look at today is the reality of suffering in light of the war we are in as Christians. Second, we will see that we do not need to go through the fight in the dark because we know that the living Lord Jesus is on our side and salvation is here. So the thesis statement today is this. For those of you that don't know, the thesis statement is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world continue to push and fight with us daily, it's the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the scriptures that will remind us of the promise and give us the hope to know and wait on the Lord to bring us victory. So point number one, we want to talk about the war. Fighting the good fight of faith. Something that we don't hear a lot about anymore these days. Not a common topic to talk about trials and tribulations and suffering and all that stuff. It's just not common. It's not comfortable. It's not the thing. It's not the way things go. But the reality is that there's one thing that is made clear when it comes to the scriptures, especially in the writings of our apostles, is that there is a fight that's out there that we are a part of and that we've got to make sure that we are engaged in. So one of the first things we see when it comes to this next part of Psalm 119, the next of the golden alphabet, the next letter, Resh, we see the sense of the phrase, look upon my suffering. Another way to interpret this is to consider my affliction. One of the subtle pictures offered to us by our psalmist is the reality of this thing called suffering at the hands of our enemy. So, suffering at the hands of our enemy, meaning we have enemies out in this world. And normally what happens is we end up getting into fights with our enemies. And we shouldn't think of suffering as something strange. For those who will serve the Lord, those who walk in fear of the Lord, there's going to be struggle, there's going to be battles, there's going to be fights because we have enemies. So we should not think of suffering as something that's weird or as something strange. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Very important verse for us today in our culture today, especially when it comes to this. When it comes to fiery trials, he didn't say trials, he said fiery trials. Those trials and those things that are going to happen to you that are going to be very, very difficult. These things are going to happen to you. Okay? Don't be surprised when it happens. See, I think sometimes as Christians, we lose sight of the reality of this sometimes because we lose sight of the fact that we're actually in a battle. And when suffering and trials and difficulty and these types of things happen, we act shocked. And Peter's telling us, don't be surprised at the fiery trials, and don't act as if something strange were happening to you. Sure, we're going through fiery trials, but we walk through these fiery trials as if, hey, this is the normal Christian life. This is what life is like. And like I said before, and why not? You know, saying, man, I don't know. You're talking about like we're going through some serious fiery trials. We're going through difficulty in life, and I'm supposed to be walking around like, yeah, this is normal. This is life. This is how life is. Yeah, but Shane, your entire life is falling apart. Yeah, I know. But that's how it goes. That's how I roll. But here's the thing. We're the ones that can. Right? I mean, here's the thing. When we become Christians, do we not have the Holy Spirit? And the last time I checked with some of you, we believe that the Holy Spirit is God. And we believe that God can do all things. So is it possible? Think about this for a minute. Is it possible that because we have the Holy Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength? Is it just possible that God wasn't lying, that we could do this? So let's be reminded today that our time here on earth is a time of warfare. It's not luxury. I promise you, family, there's going to be luxury. There's going to be an eternity of luxury. It's coming. It's there. It's happening. It's there. That's the hope. That's what we're looking forward to. This time when we get to be with Jesus, there's going to be luxury. But before that time comes, there's going to be a time of struggle. There's going to be a time of wrestling. There's going to be a time of warfare. Why? Because we have enemies in this world. It's a fight every day. It's a battle. It's a conflict. It is not the time for comfort and luxury and leisure. J.C. Ryle, in his book Holiness, he writes, "The child of God has two great marks about him. He may be known by his inward warfare as well as his inward peace." Wow. So Christians, we can be at war and be at peace at the same time. Yes, there is rest, but there is also a fight that we all need to be a part of. My question for us today is, are we fighting? Are we fighting today? It's a reality. Some of you may say, well, Shane, you know, I don't know. Is Christianity really a fight? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Kind of bizarre if we were in a time of peace for the apostle to urge us to put on armor. You know? I mean, do people normally put on armor during times of peace? Is that a normal behavior? Well, I know that, you know, Sabrina, she likes to go to these festivals where they dress up like knights and stuff like that. What is that?
Renaissance.
The Renaissance. Connie, you go too? Connie dresses up as a stormtrooper when she goes to the... It's like you see a stormtrooper and be like, Connie, I knew that was you. So maybe people dress up like knights and wear armor during the Renaissance festival. But it's not normal for people to be dressed in armor when, you know, there is a fight. When if there is no fight, if there's no battle, if there's no war. So why would the apostle tell us to put on armor if that wasn't the case? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Endure suffering. Be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Weapons of our warfare. Now, the last time I checked, the Apostle Paul didn't refer to the Bible as our massager. You know, hey, you know, we got to take out our Bibles and put it on our back if you want a nice massage. The last time I checked, the Apostle Paul called our Bible a sword. A pastor in Minneapolis, he once wrote, "When I entered the Christian life, I had no idea I was walking into a war. I felt at first," I love this illustration because it really illustrates what it's like. "I felt at first like a man. I was parachuting in the sky. And I'm floating in the sky and I'm looking over and I'm witnessing the glories of salvation. I'm finally awake to Christ and I see the beauty of everything as I'm soaring over the land and I'm flying in the sky. I'm finally safe from sin. I'm finally headed for heaven. But then I soon realized I landed in a country I didn't recognize amid a fight I wasn't ready for." Wow, soaring in the sky in salvation. But we just landed in enemy territory. See, and family, and as I engage with people, and many of them have been Christians for a long time, some of us have never come to the realization that we are in a war. Many say that they've never been taught that Christianity is a battle, never been taught that Christianity is a fight. You don't sell books this way, apparently. It's a fight. The process of being made holy is not done by a plastic surgeon. Do you guys realize that? Some of y'all didn't get that. I think sometimes it's just like, yes, Lord, make me holy. And we think all that means is he's going to lay us down on the table and he's just going to perform plastic surgery. It doesn't happen that way. The process of being made holy is not done by a plastic surgeon. It's in a spiritual gym with a trainer. Oh, yeah. J.C. Ryle says, there is no holiness without warfare. Saved souls will always be found to have fought a fight. If you're a Christian today, when all is said and done, when they look at you and they look at your life, they are going to see that, whoa, that individual has been in many battles. This individual has fought some fights, man. You know, and it's not just, for us, we look at this and we see this as a spiritual thing. But we've got to realize that not only is it a spiritual thing, but we've got to see that throughout all of church history, this has also been a literal thing. And in countries today, other countries today, it's a literal thing. I'm reminded when I see this, J.C. Ryle says, there's no holiness without warfare. Saved souls will always be found to have fought a fight. And family, not sure how much you know about church history, but there's this this very, very important time in church history, and it was a very, very important council called the Council of Nicaea. Now, when I read this and I see Ryle says, saved souls will always be found to have fought a fight, the first thing my mind goes to is the Council of Nicaea. Why does it do that? Because a report that was given by an individual that had written a historical record at the time, it calling or talking about the Council of Nicaea, one of the things that the writer said was virtually all of the men at the Council of Nicaea, virtually all of the Council of Nicaea, the writer said it was an absolute hideous sight to see. And you read that and you're just kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird. I mean, that's raw off, man. I'd be talking about the looks and all these guys that are there, talking about their looks and the clothes they wear and all that stuff. No, she says it was hideous because virtually all the men at the Council of Nicaea was disfigured in some way. I mean, we're talking about, they're saying reports that there are men who were there who had no eyes. They were men who only had one eye. They were walking with limps. Some of them didn't have legs. Some of them didn't have one leg. Some of them didn't have arms. A lot of them had no fingers, fingernails, toenails, missing teeth. Could you imagine that? Here's these guys coming up with this awesome moment in Christianity and they're trying to talk, but they ain't got no teeth. Some of them said that they're even missing lips. And that was one of the torture things that they did, was they were just saying, like, you need to stop preaching Christ. You need to deny Christ. If not, we are going to cut your lips off. And instead of denying Christ, they got their lips cut off. Instead of denying Christ, they plucked out their eyes. Instead of denying Christ, they cut their legs off. They cut their feet off, their hands off. Literally shown to have been in a battle. John Piper writes, to become a Christian is to wake up to the reality that our soul, the eternal joy of our soul, is at stake. Therefore, Christianity is mortal combat for true and lasting joy. So the question today is, are you in the fight? Are you in the fight? Do you recognize that there is a fight? Are we going to get in the fight? Shane, yeah, I'll get into the fight, but I'm on retreat right now. Shane, I know that Christianity is a fight, but I just got to spend just a little bit more time in furlough. I got to rest, Shane. I got to rearm, Shane. I need to replenish before I get into the fight. I gotta resupply. I gotta get new batteries for the fight. I ran out of gas. I gotta refuel. I know Christians are out there fighting, but I can't help right now. You know what I'll do? I will pray that someone else comes to help them. my question, are we going to get back into the fight? Ever? If we're not in the fight, are we going to get in it? If we were in the fight and we stepped out, are you going to get back? But here's the fight, the ultimate fight, the one that never stops, the one that never rests, one that is always there, and it just never seems to give up. What is that fight? The fight that never stops, the fight that never rests, the one that never, ever, ever stops. There is an enemy that comes at you, and it never, never stops. It's this thing called self. The minute we wake up in the morning, self is there. The minute we wake up in the morning, our self is standing right there. The minute we get up, the alarm goes off, and we get up and we're ready to start our day. There's self sitting right there on the bed, right where you got up, looking at you and singing the Richard Marx song, "I will be right here waiting for you." It's not going to give up. Self isn't going to give up. Self is not going to stop. There's no ceasefire. There's never a break. There's no furlough from self. It's always coming at you. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. It's a fight, family. The fight with ourselves. The fight with the sin nature that lives within us every single day and every moment of our lives. Now, let me ask you this. How are we going to rest? I'm going to show you why life is frustrating for a lot of us. I'm going to show you why. How are you going to rest in a lounge chair? You're sitting in a lounge chair. And in the lounge chair, you got the fans that are blowing on you. Some of y'all got some people that are there, the cabana boys that are fanning you. Nice, breezy. Feel good. And then right over here in your right hand, you got a virgin pina colada. Southern Baptist, right? Got a virgin pina colada in a coconut. You got sunglasses on. You got Italian nachos on the side. Your wife sitting next to you, apologizing for all the bad things she's done to you during your marriage. In the background, you got the Rolling Stones playing. And right there on the big screen TV, you got the Denver Broncos whooping up on the Raiders. And the whole time this is going on, you got bullets whizzing by your head. You got bombs going off. You hear the sound of mortar coming. You got helicopters flying over, shooting at things around you. Rocket launchers are going off. You got the shrapnel of grenades that go off and they keep knocking your pina colada out your hand. You get the Rolling Stones just got blown up behind you, and now you're trying to replace them with the Eagles. No matter what you do, no matter what happens, there just seems to be fighting all around. There's always fighting. There are always explosions. There's injuries. There's suffering. There's sickness. There's pain. And there's no stopping any of this. And no matter what you try, no matter what books you read, no matter what conferences you've gone through, you just realize, I am trying to live at peace. I am trying to live my best life now. And for some reason, I just can't. Well, I wonder why. Did we ever stop and think that maybe it's because we're in a war? Maybe in life this is a battle. And here it is. Here it is. When we get to this idea and understand that we are in a battle, that we are in a war, here it is. When we are in a fight, we are not consumed with lifestyle when we're on the front lines. You know, and then here at Central, we got military here. We got military people here at the church. You all know when you go through training, you go through this, we know about what happens when it comes to a fight. We know what we're actually thinking about when we're on the front lines. Even when I'm in a fight at the gym, you know, so when we're at the gym, we're doing, you know, when I'm sparring, you know, or when I'm grappling, doing jiu-jitsu, all this stuff. When all of this stuff is going on and it's serious, you know, it's serious. I gotta, you know, I'm a blue belt. I'm rolling with a white belt. I gotta make sure that the white belt doesn't beat me. But this guy is bigger than me, stronger than me, all that stuff. It takes my concentration. I am not thinking about lifestyle at that moment. I'm in the midst of a battle. We're fighting. I'm not thinking about lifestyle at that moment. I'm not thinking about all this. If you're in a battle, you're in a war, you're in the ditch, you're looking up, bullets are flying by, there's an enemy. You're not sitting there wondering, concentrating on lifestyle. You're concentrating on not dying on the front line in a ditch. And we're complaining to each other about, hey man, you know, we're in the fight and all this kind of stuff. And I just want to say that I'm very disappointed that they did not bring us lotion this morning. My skin is dry. It's all bad. Where's our lotion? I'm complaining to my superior officer that while I'm in a battle, in a fight, I'm like, where's the hand sanitizer? Do you realize just how dirty this area is? You know? I mean, you thought COVID-19 was bad? We keep messing around in this, we're going to have COVID-25. Bullets flying by, bombs going off, and we're going, hey, where am I supposed to charge my iPhone? We're supposed to have docking stations. Where is it? We're in a problem, and we got, you know, bullets are flying and a helicopter's coming to get us out of this mess. So we run and we jump in the helicopter, and while we're flying away from the helicopter with rockets launching and about ready to hit the helicopter and all this stuff, and we're going, I sent a memo about heated seats in the helicopter. The seats aren't heated. I'm complaining. That's it. I'm complaining. Walking through a minefield and upset that I can't connect to the internet so I can check my Instagram. I need a medic. Sir, I need a medic. Well, what happened? I got a little bit of a hangnail here. I need to get on furlough. Time to go on furlough. I'm hurt. Really hard for us to be preoccupied with the comforts of life and leisure when war is all around. But the problem is that we get ourselves into a place where we convince ourselves that there is no war. Now, how do we do that? How do you do that? You know, some that I've had to counsel over the years, some decide that the way they're going to check out and get out of the war is to use chemicals. I use the bottle to get away from the war, Shane. I take a pill to get away from the war. And then they tell me that they can't get out. You know, I have a friend that I was dealing with in Hawaii who is a recovering meth addict, and he's on meth, and that was the excuse. I can't get out. I can't get out. And the number one reason why he can't get out is he can't allow himself to face reality. I can't face reality, Shane. I need to keep doing this so I can check out. Oh, and people say, once you take meth, man, it's forever. I can't get free of this, right? And I keep saying, man, I see people get free of meth all the time. I see people get free of drugs all the time. My brother back there, that's a former meth addict right there. His hands up. That's a former meth addict right there. But I bet you it wasn't easy. It was a fight. It's a battle, family. It's a battle. We got the reality of this. And yet, we become preoccupied with the comforts of life and leisure when war is around, which means somehow, some way, for whatever reason, we were able to check out. How did we check out? We check out because we believe the lie that it's not real. There's no way to get out of this. It's the reality of life. You know, even unbelievers are in this war. Unbelievers may think that they're not in the war, but they're in this war. Oh yeah, this battle is still there. It's all before us. But here's the thing, family. As Christians, we've got something awesome before us. We're in a war. We're in a battle, but we've got something awesome before us. You know what that is? You got somebody awesome in your corner. You got somebody awesome on your side. This is why I can say that we were born again for the storm. Yeah, family, Christian, you were born for the storm. This is what they were there for. This is what happened. This is why you were given what you were given. This is the amazing thing about this. We were born again for the storm because we have what the psalmist was talking about, an advocate, somebody that's on our side. Christ is on our side. In the end, no matter what is happening in the fight, we are assured of one thing. That in the end, we're going to be victorious. In the end, we're going to win. When all is said and done and the smoke clears and the dust settles, we will have the trophy. We will have the victory. And we are assured of all this because of the promises that was given to us by the word of the living God. Jesus will rescue us. He will keep us and he will protect us. And the Father, our Father in heaven, assures us of this wonderful truth that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Do you know that there was even a time, like I said, there was a time before we were even Christians, like I said, even non-believers, we were in a war. Why? Because the Bible called, before we were Christians, what does the Bible call us when it comes to God? We are called his enemy. We were enemies of God. Enemies of God. We were his enemy, and he gave us Jesus. The reality is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no, not one. There's no one on earth who always does good and never sins. If we break even the smallest of commands, we are as guilty as one who's broken all of it. And it's clear in the scriptures that the wrath of God is a real thing. Judgment is real. It's coming. It will be terrible. Man, I tell you, it was last night, I didn't get much sleep because I was on the phone and I was engaging with an atheist. And we were talking for, I want to say, a couple hours. And just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And one of the things he finally said at the end was, Shane, what are you so concerned about? And I said to him, I'm concerned because judgment is coming. That's why I'm concerned for you. Judgment is coming. It's real. It's coming. And it's going to be terrible. It's not going to be good. It's the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, there's just no other description. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but when somebody says, there's going to be this place that we're going to go to, Shane, and this place is nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know about you. I don't want to go there. Weeping and gnashing teeth. Gnashing teeth. Just, I don't know if it's because I got this thing about teeth, you know, and I don't like teeth, my teeth getting hurt. You know, so gnashing of teeth just sounds bad. It's just this place. And I'm talking to him, I'm concerned because of the judgment. And he goes, see, that's the thing that I have a hard time with your sermons. I have a hard time with preachers like you. You guys are the wrath of God preachers. He refers to us as the wrath of God preachers. You guys are talking about the wrath of God. You know, why don't you just try to not talk about the wrath of God and maybe guys like me will start listening to you. And I said, well, you know what? Here's the thing. The wrath of God is coming. And I said, do you want me to lie to you and say that it's not? And he thought about it for a minute and he goes, well, I suppose I gotta really think about that. I said, no, you told me not to do this. Don't talk about the wrath of God. And if I don't talk about the wrath of God, then I'll listen to you. So you want me to lie to you? And then he says, well, I don't want that. I said, let me give you an example. Let's just say I'm a doctor. Just found out you have a terminal disease. But I decided I'm not going to tell him, because if I tell him that he has a terminal disease, that's not going to be good for his self-confidence. If he finds out that he has a terminal disease, that's not going to be good for his self-esteem. So I'm just not going to say anything. And then you find out later when you're about to die that I knew you had a terminal disease, but I didn't tell you because I thought it would be bad for your self-esteem. Would you be mad at me? And he was just like, yes, fine, I would be mad at you. The wrath of God is coming. And if I tell you anything different, it's a lie. If anyone tells you different, it's a lie. The wrath of God is coming. Jesus is coming to judge the quick and the dead. That's all over the scriptures. And God has done one thing that we see in the scriptures. When he promises to bring judgment, guess what? He does. But family, the one that's in our corner, the one that's on our side, did he rescue us from the wrath of God? Oh, you bet he did. We are all. You know, see, here's the thing too. It's not that we're sick. It's not that we're walking around limping. We were dead in our sins. We're not injured humans. We were dead humans. And Christ regenerated us. We were born again by the power of the Spirit. And we know this because of the gospel. There was a price to pay, death, and Jesus paid it for us. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And family, the promises continue. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you will have life in his name. And in this world, we don't have to be afraid of the reality of the spiritual warfare that we fight. Yeah, we do put on the armor of God. We are in a battle. It is a fight. It is real spiritual warfare. But you don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. We don't have to panic. Because we know. Because the Word of God makes it so. We know that Christ the Lord, He's on our side. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.